Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. As in heaven, so on earth. When we disclose our wants in prayer, O let our wills resign, and not a thought our bosom share, which is not wholly thine. Jesus teaches us that in prayer our first and continuing concern is to be for the rights of God. We are to be deeply grieved and very conscious of the way in which humanity is profaning God's word. This becomes our supreme grief. We've come out from a world which is God's world, from amongst a people who include ourselves, who are rightly God's children. But our world is not treated by us as if it were God's world. We do not first of all think of His rights, His purpose, His glory in what goes on in our world. We center our desires in ourselves. We seek to come to God to bring Him into our plans and into our programs. We do not ask, first of all, how God would have me behave, how God would use me in the carrying out of His glorious and righteous purpose. We do not first of all ask what God would have me do with this material, with this situation. We do not ask God first of all how I may behave for His glory in the midst of my family and of my friends, of my community, in all the relations of this world. That, Jesus indicates, is to be our first concern. God is not reverenced by men in His word. We constantly misuse the materials in the midst of which God places us. We constantly use men and women as if they were mere material for our own satisfaction. That is the great grief of one who comes to stand alone with God and look out on the world from the standpoint of God. He sees that human history itself has been largely on the part of men denying and negating the purposes of God and God's plan for the making of history. The great deep tragedy of not subjecting ourselves to the will and to the wisdom and the love of God. That is the great thing which oppresses a man if he has come rightly in the spirit of Jesus to stand with God. And so, standing there, wondering what one shall say, God now looks at us and waits for us to come and present our petition. What shall I say? Again, Jesus teaches us to say, Hallowed be thy name. Let thy name, thy nature, thy will, thy purpose, thy holiness, be recognized in the world so that the whole of life and all things in it may become sacred. They may take on a sacramental value as being medium but through which we come into relation to God. And so let thy kingdom, thy reign come so that God may rule amongst men. Let thy will be done. And all three of these, the hallowing of the name, the coming of the kingdom, the doing of the will, on the standard of the perfect way in which it is done in heaven. As in heaven, so on earth. And not earth leaving all to God, in which we are merely passive, but opening ourselves up to God. Not merely submitting to God, but committing ourselves to God, that in us He may express Himself in our world, in our personal lives, in our personal relations, in the social order in which I live, that God may have His way, and that He may come into me and use me as an instrument in doing His will. And so it is not resignation, it is not submitting to waiting until God shall bring about His kingdom, but it's putting myself in relation to God so that He may now bring me into His kingdom and let me begin doing His will on earth as it is revealed to me it is done in heaven. Let me sanctify always His name in my life and reverently take every situation in life as a relationship with God. So I wish Him to rule me in all my relations and to bless me in all my functions, that they may all be in accordance with His blessed will, even as the angels in heaven minister to the will of God continuously and without fail. O God, help us to be deeply aware of how we desecrate our own lives, how we sin against our opportunities by not taking account of Thee, first of all, in every relation of life. Help us, we pray Thee, this day, to seek to let Thy will be done in our lives, to let Thee rule over us, and through us rule over all that is connected with us, in deep reverence for Thy glorious name, through Jesus Christ. Amen. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Could we but kneel and cast our load in while we pray upon our God, then rise with light and cheer, sure that the Father, who is nigh to still the famished raven's cry, will hear in that we pray. What we seek for ourselves follows what we seek for God. It is very significant that in teaching us in this prayer, Jesus has not led us to bring any personal requests for ourselves up to this point. We have first of all prayed for the glory of God. We have prayed for the will of God to be done on earth. That has become our great concern. And now Jesus seems to remind us, what did you come here to ask God for? I came, it may be, in prayer with many things in mind to request. But as I came and stood in the presence of God and looked out on the world and life from His standpoint, I seem to have forgotten these things. Indeed, I am ashamed now of some of the things which I had expected to ask of God in this prayer. I realized that my petitions which I was seeking had in them an element of selfishness, an element of littleness, which I am ashamed to confess in the presence of God. But God waits as my Father, and He says, now, my child, what is it that you want from me? And as I begin to think afresh now from this standpoint, I think as a servant of God. I think of one who is to do the will of God. I do not think of the things which I shall get, of the accumulations which may come to me. I do not think of my fancied needs and distresses. I am thinking only of what will make me an effective doer of the will of God on earth in this my day. And so my petitions are limited while they become limitless. They are very simple, as Jesus teaches them. Hence, he said, say, give us this day our daily bread, or bread for the day as it comes on. Feed us. I'm not asking for great accumulations. I'm not asking for much that should be done for me or given to me. I'm going to serve my God in the name of Christ. So I ask only that he will feed me while I go on serving him. I ask that he will forgive me. That is my great need. I am not fit to go and live amongst men unless my sins have been forgiven, unless I can go with clean conscience, unless I can go with a consciousness that I am at one with God. Go out amongst men to do for them and to do with them the things which God puts into my heart. Feed me, yes. Forgive me, even more important. But I go into a world full of evil. I go weak and subject to temptations. Jesus himself had known the power and the pull of temptation which he needed to resist in his doing the will of God on earth as it was in heaven. And he remembers that as he teaches me with all my consecration and with all my unselfish devotion, as he teaches me to talk with God. And he says, say to thy Father, defend me from evil. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me when the temptation comes. While we seek the glory of God in our lives, in our churches, in our society, in our nation, in our world, we ask only that God will give us what we must have to make us strong for service, feed us, that he will keep us clear in our relations to men and to him, forgive us, and then that he will protect us, and thus we shall go on in our world and out into our world where he shall lead and where he shall deliver us from the temptations which are saved. O God, it is a great calling into which thou hast brought us, that we shall represent thee through the years of these little lives of ours and the relations into which thou shalt bring us. Help us, we pray thee, to be constrained and encouraged and heightened in all our thinking and living by that consciousness. And so we do not ask for much of the things of the world. We only ask that we shall have such sustenance as shall enable us to be good servants, that we shall have such clearness of relationship with thee, that we shall not be hampered by consciousness of sin. And we pray that thou wilt see that we are kept from evil for Christ's sake. Amen. Jesus goes on to say, if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is so important in the thinking of Jesus that it is the one item in the prayer that he took up for comment after he had closed the teaching about the prayer itself. This second petition goes to the center of all the social needs, all the social evils of the world in which we live. and into which the will of God is to come and to rule. Unfulfilled obligations of men to one another, the wrongs inflicted, the rights withheld, these make up this present evil world. Because of these, there are bitterness, hatred, anger, strife, conflicts, warfare, race hatreds, party strife, personal feuds, all the divisive influences and all the broken unities in our life that separate us from God grow out of this wrong attitude among men. The great debt of every man and of every group is our debt to God. We have misused His word and all the materials in it that came within our power. We have neglected, slighted, and often repudiated our responsibilities to Him in whom we live and move and have our being. We have turned our faces away from His high ideals. We have scorned His plans for our lives. Worst of all, we have mistreated His children, our fellow human beings. And now in His presence, with some deep and vital sense of what it means and may mean to call Him our Father, we see that every sin against brotherhood in all human life, in the whole of human history, is first of all, and worst of all, a sin against God's fatherhood. Here is the basal debt, the all-comprehending trespass. The soul cries out against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this even in thy sight. With this conviction filling my conscience and pressing hard upon it, I see in a new light all the debts, the conflicts, the transgressions of the life of which I am a part. And my greatest need is not to get my rights from men, but to get myself right with God. I must be on right terms with God. I cannot be on right terms with Him so long as I am willing to contribute to the confusion and the misery of the human race by harboring hatred or cherishing resentment, even for a real injury or a serious wrong done me by some fellow sinner in God's word. Once a man comes to feel the importance of being in harmony with God entirely, and of being truly in fellowship with God in relation to a disordered world, he is ready to forgive all, that he may himself be forgiven and may approach the world, enemies as well as friends, as a friend of God. Forgive us our sins, as it is put in the passage in Luke, for we ourselves also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Here then I test my desire for forgiveness. Do I really wish God to forgive me? Why? Is my sin that I am marring God's society? Or is it on some smaller level? When the tragic aspect of broken fellowship, of fellowships unachieved and unsought, has gripped my soul, and every sin that hinders that social unity of God and men makes the heart cry out for forgiveness unto God. And so Jesus has told us in another place, and thou bringest thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee. Leave there thy gift, and go first to reconcile to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Again he said, when ye stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any man, from your heart, then you may pray to God. This is not an arbitrary condition. It grows out of the very nature of man and God and their relation to each other. Help us, O God, know our deep debt to thee. our terrible sin of not being what we ought to be before Thee. Help us then to know that much of our littleness grows out of our wrong relations to men, out of our selfish and self-centered desires and concerns, which sacrifice blessed human relationships to ill tempers and ill feelings. We want to be forgiven of Thee. Thou canst not rightly forgive us except in the measure in which we forgive others. And so wilt Thou give us grace, and let us serve Thee, and Thine shall be the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.